And now I'd like to introduce our 10-minute speaker, Gary B. from AG.
My name is Gary, I'm an alcoholic. And I also like the smell of cocaine. I like that one, huh, Lompoc? I'm bald, too. Don't laugh. Where's Chris? He is. Just don't tell. So, when I'm nervous, I tell jokes. My sobriety date is October 28, 2013. The night before that, I woke up in a jail in this county, and that was the first time I'd been in jail in this county. I didn't live in this county. Anybody can relate to that. So the night before I got in a fight with my wife, I was living in Monterey, and I got in a fight with my wife. The night before, I vaguely remember getting really angry, going to the garage, putting her shoes on, getting in my Jeep and taking off to Del Monte Beach or the wharf, something like that, and getting out of the car, getting on the beach, walking down the beach with her shoes on and calling her up and saying, you know, why'd you put your shoes on me? And then from there, I ended up in, it took a day to get to Pismo, and a lot of stops along the way for more bottles of alcohol, and it was a blessed trip. You know, I didn't hurt anybody. I was on the way to getting my 8th DUI. I ended up in a really cool place, man. I parked my car at Pismo Pier, I went to get a taco. Prior to that, I checked into a hotel and I threatened the hotel keep. And I said, she asked me was, you know, the general things they ask you, like what your name is, use your credit card, and what's your license plate number on your car? And I said, well, it's the white Jeep out there. It's a Rubicon. And she goes, well, I need the license plate so your car doesn't get towed. So I threatened her life, you know, because I said, hey, tow my Jeep, I'll kill you, you know. And that's a terrorist threat that the cop told me. Not good. And so I had to go get a taco. And she, at that point, I'm sure she smelled me. She called Pismo Police Department and said, hey, there's this crazy guy in a Jeep. It's a white Jeep, and he went to go get a taco at El Mirador, because that's where she sent me. And I parked at the pier, and I went and got a taco, and I'm sitting there ordering my taco, and I'm watching these guys look like security guards. They had police uniforms on, and they had caps. And for some reason, I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. Their cops here wear caps. That's neat. And they're going up and down the street looking for me, right? And they went into Harry's. There's a bar here called Harry's. They went in Harry's. Anyway, so thank God I got to my car. And Sergeant Cox pulled right up, man. Saw me get in the car. They were waiting in the parking lot. Sergeant Cox had a big SUV, you know. Pismo Police on the side of it. Sergeant Cox, big guy. Bigger than you, Lompo. Big guy. Scared me, you know, and he had a look in his eye like, hey, not, you know, I, you know, 8th DUI, so I got a little experience, went to prison one time, you know, it's just unfortunate, yeah. I gotta stop drinking 151 Bacardi. I'll drink, you know, what's that guy's name with the tuxedo and the martini, James Bond? Yeah, I'll just drink. No, it didn't ever work for me. I couldn't control and enjoy my drinking. So anyway, Sergeant Cox, man, Sergeant Cox, he knew. And have you been drinking? No. Who drove you over here? Some guy named Dave. Where's Dave? He's in that bar. Well, we're gonna go. You stay here. We're gonna go get Dave. Because the lady at the hotel said someone looks exactly like you was driving this Jeep right here, and I don't see anybody else. And you know, I just lied to the end, man. Don't ever tell the truth. You know, I just lied to him, and he knew. And then they brought these other really big cops because I started to get angry, you know. And he got a look in his eye like, oh, I better call some people. Because I wanted to run. That's what I do. And he surrounded me with enough big guys that I didn't run. And I ended up getting in the car. They took me back to the hotel. She identified me. That's the guy. And so this young cop, I mean, he must have been like 12. You know? And I'm sitting on my handcuffs and I'm just mad. And he goes, you know what you gotta do, man? You gotta man up. I guess you haven't seen the sign that says I've been to prison, dude. You know? And he was right. I needed to man up. And so what happened, I got to this jail, and in this jail, I sat in this jail, and I called my wife, and she answered the phone, and then all these things started happening. They call it divine intervention because for some reason in that jail cell, everything in my life lined right straight up, and I knew. I had been coming to AA. I was forced to come. I was sentenced to AA all the time, and I knew you guys did one thing really well. Enjoy being sober, and I knew that because your message never changed. Your message was always the same. It was always the same, and I could count on that, and I knew that, and I knew. It's up, man. The gig's up. And I give up. And they let me out. I called my wife. She picked me up. Last time I got a DUI, I went to prison. And that was only 3 years ago. I didn't go to prison this time. And I don't know why still to this day. I got the opportunity to get on an ankle bracelet for 21 months. I had to be honest. The only way I could get out of my house for 21 months was to go to AA meetings in my DUI class. That saved my life. You guys saved my life. This program saved my life. And I knew where to come. So if you're new, and it's going to take you... My first DUI was in 1987. My last one was in 2013. It's okay, man. It's all right. We're going to be here. The message is not going to change. We have a singleness of purpose here. And we talk about things like, you know, allergy of the body, obsession, the mind. I have a body that craves alcohol if I drink it. I have a mind that obsesses about it. Once I take that drink, I can't stop thinking about it until I drink again. And then when I drink again, I can't stop drinking. And it's only through a power outside of myself that breaks that chain, that breaks that direct. And I can't explain it, and it's okay, you know. I don't have a problem with your God, you know. I don't have a problem with my God. I never really did. It wasn't God's fault. God had nothing to do with it. I don't even know where I am at time-wise, you know. This is kind of fun. I like this. I was kind of expecting more people, you know. This is the only thing that's worked for me. And every judge in California, and the Superior Court judges, they really gave a damn. They really cared. And I really thought they did at the time. I wasn't mad at them. And I've never really been mad at cops. You know, they're just doing their job, right? I was a menace, right? When I drink, I'm a menace. I'm a menace when I don't drink. Ask my wife. She's right back there. I love this program. It's an honor and a privilege to speak at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. God, I hope you keep coming back if you're new. I found a life that I didn't think existed for a guy like me. The only way I dealt with life was drinking. Whether it was good or bad, it didn't matter. And I accomplished some things, but that doesn't really matter when you come to the conclusion that you're an alcoholic. You know, all the stuff you've accomplished, you know, I don't want to give my business away, but it kept me drunk for a long time. You know, not having to go show up at work, not having to report to an employer, not having any structure. Structure is good. If you're in a rehab program, it's a good thing. They're going to tell you to go to AA. They're going to tell you to get a sponsor, which is what I did. They're going to tell you to work the steps, which is what I did. And then once you connect, if you're a man, you connect with other men. If you're a woman, you connect with other women. Once you connect, the program gets traction. We say that we're a fellowship of men and women, you know. So it's a combination of things. But that fellowship is what gives me traction. And it's what keeps me coming back. If I stray, which I'm going to do, my character defects are going to pull me away from here because it's going to tell me, hey, Gary, you got a good life, man. You got it going on, dude. And then a guy named Dan, big guy named Dan's going to call me up and he's going to say, hey, where you been? And he's big. He's bigger than I am. And it's good for me to be around guys that can physically bring me to a meeting if they have to. So, anyway. Thank God for AA. That's all I've got. Thanks, Chris. Let's give Gary a hand.